Welcome to the C3 Church Global Podcast with Phil Pringle. Phil is the founder and senior leader of C3 Church Global, a family of over 500 churches around the world. We're passionate about bringing you fresh, inspiring devotionals to fuel your day and insightful conversations on all things church and leadership. And it all starts right now.
Hey, everybody. Well, it is my pleasure this week to be talking with our pastor of the C3 Long Island Church in New York City, Phil Beekler. Great to have you here, Phil.
Wonderful to be with you. Thank you.
Phil and his wife Denise took over this church 15 years ago and have transformed the building that they had here. It is a beautiful building right here in Long Island, and the church has grown both in quantity and in quality. It was started many years ago by Mark and Bernadette Kelsey, and then the next pastors were Bill and Audrey Clemens, and now we're here this weekend celebrating all of these people. They're all here, the founder and the intermediary pastor, and we are dedicating this brand new renovated facility. Tell us about the journey to get here, Phil.
Well, the journey begins way back in 1989 with the Kelseys moving here from Australia. This is a very difficult region of the country to reach spiritually. I mean, everybody believes that about the region they're in, and it's true to some extent. But this is a really religious-spirited area. There's only 9% Protestant population here, and only 3% of that actually believes in the Word of God and the power of the Holy Spirit. But that's a fantastic ground to be planting good seed in. It's a plant. It's a great, great area to take a step of faith, which the Kelseys did. So 15 years ago, the church had broken through to obtain a daycare center, and the daycare facility was still operating here. And so we were sharing the space, and the church was meeting in a cafeteria. But right from that very first Sunday, Denise and I surrounded ourselves with a number of key leaders, and we started seeing what this building could be when it was entirely ours to use. And we started speaking to walls to start coming down. We started talking about ideas about how we could reconfigure the hallways and different rooms. And we took it year by year, step by step, room by room, to get it to where it is today. But it took 15 years. Great team of people, spirit of faith, a lot of sacrifice, and learning how to navigate the impatience and the setbacks. And so really building a resilient culture.
That's so important. Step by step, rather than thinking it's going to be one giant leap. I sometimes think of like when a doctor gives you a course of antibiotics to take. You're thinking like, well, why can't I just take the whole lot today and get it over and done with? But that regular dosage is just the only way to actually remedy the situation. And like you say, room by room, hallway by hallway, step by step, and then fighting the inevitable impatience.
Yes.
And the associated discouragement that goes with the length of time it takes to get great things done.
Right. Well, the very nature of vision, as you know, Pastor, is that you can see something before it's actually seen. And but the fact that you can see it and you continue to see it, it becomes a reality in your spirit. It becomes a reality in your imagination. You start to actually dream about it at night, and yet it's not physically in place yet. But having that patience and having a team that actually is a great check and balance as well. Because one of the great success stories, I believe, here is that while when we took over the church 15 years ago, there was maybe 50 adults here. They were 50 of the best adults you'd ever find. And I would plant churches with that kind of quality person. So it was very easy to replant, to reboot, to they were great. They had learned patience because they had plenty of reason to leave, but they stayed because of the will of God, because of the prophetic words that were over the church.
Right.
So they already had some resilience and grit in their spirit that helped us.
Yeah, listen, I mean, the word patience, golly, it's a big word, right? And the scripture says through faith and patience, they possessed their promised land. They possessed the promises. So it's not just having faith and then having a big one momentous day of victory. It's actually having the patience to keep moving forward and progressing even after setbacks and put downs and failures. I've always interpreted the word patience as capacity.
Yeah.
And it's what you can cope with.
Yeah.
Without losing your attitude.
Yeah.
Without losing your temper. Your capacity to cope with delays and disruptions without collapsing on the inside into anger or anxiety. And so developing patience is a really great quality of character to have so that we don't throw into a tantrum every time something goes wrong, but we've got a cool spirit and we're able to stay calm under pressure.
Yeah, amen. Let patience have its perfect work.
Right.
In other words, patience actually serves God's purpose in our life.
Right.
Well, we're actually trying to avoid it. But in actuality, the Lord's put us into circumstances that require it. We have a number of culture statements here at the church, just try to make things in summary statements, but one of them is God's getting us ready for what he already has ready for us. And so patience is actually the getting us ready part. You know, it's a character, it's an endurance, it's a capacity, like you mentioned. But getting that into the teams is so very, very important. Of course, that comes from us. That comes from, so they feed off our impatience or they feed off our patience. Hmm. They feed off our grit or they feed off the fact that we're starting to collapse. Hmm. And so as leaders learning to choose the biblical attributes that God says are already ours, it's who we are,
right.
Christ, and who Christ is in us.
Right.
Because Jesus has grit.
Yeah.
Jesus has patience.
Yeah.
Jesus has everything that we need as leaders. And so learning as leaders to be Christ-like as much as we possibly can, as a devoted follower of him, then we impart that. And we, by example, by speech, by attitude especially, by body posture even, because I can tell, you know, people sitting in a room can tell whether I'm slouchy or whether I'm pressed in. I'm, you know, I'm excited about this. I'm confident.
Exactly. And you know, developing a I'm good, whatever's going on attitude actually reduces the level of sympathy you're going to get. And even though you might want people to understand your circumstances and understand how difficult and challenging it is, actually to keep your act together means some people are never going to know.
Right, exactly.
And the worth of a trial, in my mind, is when it's buried, when it's underground. And a seed, Jesus said, look, a seed never going to produce fruit unless it falls into the ground and dies alone. And sometimes you're down in that dark, dirty place where it's just like, who knows I'm here? Who knows I'm down here? But actually, out of that situation, you get a root that's going downwards and fruit that's going upwards.
Yeah. Yeah.
And every seed, every vision has its day of death. Every person is going to have a day when they feel like they've just died. And actually, it can be a God process taking you to your destiny of great fruitfulness.
Amen. Amen. Yeah. That's awesome. It's awesome. One of the things we also talked around the teams a lot in this last year when we were doing the sanctuary expansion, we had to find a place for the congregation to meet while the sanctuary was being torn apart and then rebuilt again. So we were praying and working with the town council to be able to get a tent permit during the summer season. So we did our services out of doors and started calling it revival services. And because right. That's what you do with tent.
Yeah, right? Tent revival.
And the Holy Spirit met us with those expectations.
Yeah.
But what he was saying to us through the season is more than you imagined in ways that you cannot imagine.
Hmm.
And he has been very true to that. It was more than we imagined. Every season has been superbly blessed upon our expectation, but it came in ways that even we couldn't have planned for, we couldn't have expected. And sometimes they were setbacks, sometimes they were disappointments, but they actually became better routes for us to take, better decisions for us to make.
How good is that? That a potentially negative situation where you can't meet in your building became a positive simply because you thought, well, there's got to be a way around this. Let's put up a tent in the car park or wherever. And you end up having a revival.
Yes.
That is. I've found that so often that is how God, I think you mentioned Jehovah Sneaky. He's got means and ways of getting us into his plan that are not our thoughts, not our ways, and we would never have taken that way had we had the choice. Do you know, Phil, I want to talk about another zone of gathering patience, because sometimes people have genuinely run out of steam. They've come to the end of their capacity or their patience. Their long suffering has been long enough. They're just they're done. They're burnt, and they need recovery and they need space. And I think that ministers and leaders allowing themselves the time to recover, like a Sabbath, or and actually giving themselves permission to feel like, hey, there comes a point where I need to break off away from the pressure and allow myself time to recover. Have you found, like, during this time of rebuilding and building this this facility, that has been a need in your world?
I recognized it with the help of other people that was a need that I needed to address. I needed to make an appointment with on my calendar for my recreation, for my rest, for my relaxation. That was as important as any other meeting that I had during the week. And I guarded jealously, with my wife Denise's help, my day off, Sunday afternoon and Monday. I disconnect from all technology, because if I can disconnect from technology, people can't get to me.
Right.
And if there is a genuine emergency, my team, my staff knows how to get a hold of me. But they know that that's a sacrosanct part of my week. Also, vacations, holidays are just indispensable. And I've learned staycations don't work for me.
Right.
But I have to actually get away and get into something beautiful, something in God's creation that just brings awe and wonder to me. I need, that's what my soul needs. That's what my heart craves.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You got to get the wow of, the wow back.
Yeah.
The worship of wonder, or the wonder of worship. And I do think that the ability to withdraw takes as much discipline as anything on earth to not look at the technology, to actually read the book, to sit there and allow yourself to even be bored.
Yeah.
Like, we're not allowed to be bored these days. Instantly, there's nothing going on. We've got our phone out and we're checking up on things. But to actually sit there and let yourself recover and your emotions trickle charge. You can't fast charge your emotions. It takes time. And imperceptibly, you just start to fill up again. I know this from my own experience, that living on cortisol is corrosive. Mm. It starts eating into your whole psyche, your mind, the way you're thinking, and you have no space left up in your brain or in your heart for important issues. And I think that when you said you've got to make an appointment, that becomes important, because then you can say to somebody, no, I can't make that. And they say, well, I thought that was your day off. And you say, well, I have an appointment that day. And that appointment might be just having a day off.
Right, right.
Or it could be time with your wife. And they see that as, oh, you can do that anytime. No, you can't. To actually separate yourself for that appointment, it's as vital as any other appointment that you'll ever make.
Right. And we insist on that for our team members as well. They need to have the days off. They need to have their vacations. Just had a conversation a month ago with one of our great leaders and just said, I don't see your 2023 vacations up on the church calendar yet. You need to get that. You know. And I know he wants to. I know he has every intention to. But if time will slip away, especially with people that actually have a sense of responsibility about the call of God upon their life. It's so very easy to be overly responsible for it.
Right. Well, when I was a younger minister, a guy called Hal Oxley, whom I greatly respect, an awesome leader, he said 4 weeks a year mandate.
Yeah.
And I went, what? I can't, I go crazy after 2 weeks, you know? And he said 4 weeks. And so for a long time, I did not take 4 weeks. But as I've gotten older, quite a lot older, I started to discover that actually you need the 4 weeks. And there were a bunch of reasons that I would justify not taking those 4 weeks. I would think, well, the church needs me there, And that feeling of that you're Superman, that nothing is going to survive unless you're hands-on and all of that, I had to get way over that because that is just not true. And you actually restrict the growth of others.
Yeah.
If you genuinely are in the business of raising up leaders, then you have to step away and allow them to actually rise. And we have seen literally hundreds of leaders come through our church and do all kinds of things. But one of the reasons is being able to step away and let others actually assume those roles where they feel empowered, encouraged, and enabled to fulfill their responsibilities.
And isn't it wonderful when we come back from our holiday and person after person, so glad you're back, but you so-and-so preached so well, the praise and worship was so great, you know, we missed you, but it's like we didn't miss you. And that's exactly what we're aiming for, because this isn't about us.
Exactly. And that's how the church grows, with the team who actually are empowered and equipped to do the work. Yeah, so coming back to the whole idea of this patience, which you've been an example of to so many, getting through this building process and starting in a temporary position 15 years ago, thinking you were going to be here for 3 months, then it just goes to a year, to another year, to another year. That in itself is an exercise of patience and waiting maybe for the next thing, but it hasn't turned up, and now you're actually coming to that place, right?
Right.
And as you look into the future, it's going to be so marvelous for you and Denise. I have no doubt that your wisdom, your years are going to empower and equip so many young men and women. Are you finding that you're getting amongst, I know here in America, you're helping many of our younger guys with their calling.
Yes, yes, enjoying that immensely. I'm finding that while I still enjoy the building, I enjoy the leadership decisions, I'm actually getting far more gratification sitting on the front row and watching a son or daughter in the faith just really rise up, get released in what God has for them, make mature decisions, go through the tough times, but go through it well, and it brings a smile to my face. I'm in a proud papa kind of phase of life, and I really do like that immensely.
Yeah. Fantastic.
Yeah.
In your life's theme, like in terms of the church, and what would you say is your big theme that God has given you to impart to your congregation and to young leaders?
My life verse is 1 Corinthians 2, 9 and 10. Eyes not seen, nor has ear heard, nor has it entered in the heart of man, the things that God has prepared for him, but he has revealed them by his Spirit. So being empowered by the Spirit, led by the Spirit, hearing God's voice through the Scripture, his whisper in private times, to be actually living in a vital relationship with a God who speaks and communicates things that you had never seen before, maybe heard or even imagined. And my signature theme would be, as great as my desires are, God's desires for me are better.
That's awesome. That's the wow. That's the, like I say, the wonder of worship. Well, Phil, it's been such a delight to be in your church with your leaders this morning, and looking forward to Sunday service tomorrow, where we're going to be dedicating and remembering in Jesus' name. God bless you. Thank you.
Thank you. This is so important for us, too. We're so glad to have you with us. Thank you for everything that you've done through the years, doing and will yet do.
Amen.
Thanks for tuning in to this episode of the C3 Church Global Podcast. Let us know what you thought by leaving a review and connect with us on Instagram @C3 Church Global. We hope you'll be back real soon.